Hi, welcome to the Whole Therapist Podcast. We're leaving out the theorizing and exploring this strange phenomenon of being a human and a therapist. I'm Kelly, licensed marriage and family therapist, working in private practice settings as a clinician and a clinical supervisor in the Denver metro area.
And I'm Abby. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the owner of a group practice in the Denver metro area. Kelly and I are both registered play therapists, supervisors, and EMDR certified. So we're both therapists, but this is not therapy. And we're both supervisors, but this is not supervision. This podcast is purely for fun. So for any ethical concerns on your caseload, please refer to your state laws and licensing boards.
And please remember to follow The Whole Therapist on Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening station. For more resources, blogs, and consultation opportunities, visit wholetherapistinstitute.com.
So come join our conversation while we explore the embodied experience of neuroscience and authenticity in the therapy room.
Hi, welcome to the Whole Therapist Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Abby.
Happy to have you with us today.
I think we're going to be talking today about chapter five, or some of the themes from chapter five in our multi-seasonal. We're not even a third. Are we a third of the way?
I would say that's a third.
Okay.
I'm also really bad at math. Alex has taught me over the years about fractions while we cook.
That's funny.
It's like, I don't know. I just never learned it.
Really?
I think I did. I just like cheated a lot.
You cheated?
Oh my God. Yes. Terribly. Like really badly.
I love knowing that.
I did tell myself. I was also somebody that told them myself. Okay. I feel like a very quick story. I like cheated my sophomore year in geometry because I stole the final. I still got a D on the final. Oh my God. Like that's how bad I don't understand math.
There's no way.
I still got a D on the final. And then I wanted to go to college and you have to take 4 years of math, or I had to have done at least like pre-calc, I think. And so when I got to pre-calc my senior year and had never actually learned geometry, I went to them and I was like, look, I cheated my entire way through geometry in my sophomore year. I not only need you to let me stay in this pre-calc class, I need you to let me take geometry over and I need to be in a math tutoring class. And so all my friends had half days our senior year. I was just filled up with math. And I've never taken a math class since.
I was going to say, how's your math career going now? It's Alex teaching you about fractions during cooking.
We do a lot of like fractions and percentages while we cook.
It's fun. It's a good analogy because I was always taught by my Wita, my grandma, how to cook. And if you could see my hand, I'm like making a little circle on my palm. She'd be like, you do like poquito this, like a little bit of this and then a little bit of that. And there was no measuring ever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I also did math, is I just guess. Like I feel into, I think it's this number.
Yeah.
I probably do this part. It doesn't work as well as cooking, but that's also how I relate to it.
I just wish that somebody could have made math more relatable. Right. Cooking at the time would not have been a way to relate to me, but clothes or CDs.
Yes. That's amazing. Okay, but we're about a third of the way through the book, we think. I don't know. So we're going to get back on track here. So in chapter five, there's a lot of good material, but we're going to talk mostly about uncertainty today. There's a quote on page 72. Cozzolino talks about, we need to accept that each of our beliefs and ideas is just a hypothesis. As we're thinking about clients, the truth is we just don't know. And we've talked about this throughout all of this endeavor. What do I say? Our two seasons?
We're on season three.
No, we're not. Are we on season three?
We did it in 2020, 2021, and now 2022.
I think we're on season two still, which is another thing. Like, how do we know when we end a season is the other...
Because January. Like we always start the next season.
I don't think that's true. I think we're on season two.
All right, let me just do some math here. So in 2020,
It's like 5 p.m., y'all. It is still a full moon. We're recording the same day. And we're, I think, tired. Let's see. Okay, I have to look us up on Apple.
If we start in 2020, then January 2021 was season two.
Okay, let's see. There's a 2021.
Well, we have been recording for 3 years.
All right, listen.
Actually, maybe not. 2020 to 2021 is 1 year.
We've been recording for 2 years, but in three, like, annual seasons. Yes. We've had three Christmases, or we will.
Yes.
I don't know how to find what season we're on, though, on this Apple thing. Let's see. Okay, well, whatever season we're on, but what I want to say is that... that we are always talking about uncertainty and how we don't know. We've mentioned how freeing it is.
I just think about how certain I was that we were in season three.
We,
I'm like, no,
we might be.
I'm so sorry.
I'm kind of holding the uncertainty of, like, I literally don't know what season we're on. It feels like we're on season two, but it could be season three.
Yes.
I will say this was going to be related later. I showed up to work without socks on or without shoes on Friday. It was a chilly day and I had really warm socks on. My son had a field trip. Some of you know I'm single parenting it right now. And so it's very hard for me to keep everything together in the mornings. And I left my house and I looked down as I'm getting out of my car to go into my office and I don't have shoes on. I'm just wearing warm socks. And then I had in-person clients and my staff is there. And it was just the weirdest moment of, like, why am I in charge of anything right now? and I have to just roll with it. And it was actually a really good day of work. There was something around the literal grounding and the humility of, like, I just don't know. I don't know why I'm not wearing shoes.
Yeah, because I think prior to this, you would have been certain that you would have never shown up to work without shoes.
We just don't know. Right? We don't know what season we're on. We don't know if we're wearing shoes anymore. And with our clients, bringing it back into Cozzolino, we just don't know. Every idea or what does he say? Our beliefs and our ideas are just hypotheses. He calls it nature's experiment. If we can look at our clients as like an unfolding, and we just don't know what has happened, what is happening, and what's going to happen next, is quite more enlivening and creates, you're in your real ventral vagal nervous system, when we just don't know.
It makes me think about folks that practice from one theory and are really like, this is the only theory I use.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that really works with people, and they're not willing to, like, explore
right
other theories.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to Abby about how over time, the last couple of years, as I've been learning a couple different theoretical models, they all tie back to IPMB, which is not a theory. It's a framework.
Shocking. Yes.
And yeah. With that, I think that we had just come to find out that there's a woman that's challenging some of Porges' work.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
I forget. Yeah.
But it just goes to, again, like, nothing is certain.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to say that I think that his work can be challenged, but it's a hypothesis.
It is a hypothesis. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that Cozzolino says is that the value of what you bring to your clients will be reflected in your thoroughness and repeated rejection of superficial certainty. So I'm just going to read that again. The value of what you bring to your clients will be reflected in your thoroughness and repeated rejection of superficial certainty.
Repeated rejection of superficial...
Superficial certainty.
Superficial certainty. Tell me what you think he means right there.
Well, what we bring to our clients, whether it's helpful or unhelpful or bringing healing or not, is probably reflected in how much we can notice the superficial certainty that our client holds and reject that. Like, we don't know.
Yes.
So I think, and one example he uses is like of interns he's worked with who say, well, their chart said that they have general depression, clinical depression. So I diagnosed them with it too.
Oh.
It's like, well, yeah. You don't know. I mean, that's a super, someone else diagnosed them with that. You don't know. Or,
yes.
They kind of present, he uses an example from the show Friends, like they kind of present like this person on the show Friends. And so I knew they were depressed too.
Yeah.
Like there's this superficial layer of certainty that a therapist can hold, and clients come in with that too, but there's a parallel process. Right. So this book is called The Development of a Therapist. We're talking about all of us, not accepting the superficial layer of knowing.
That goes back to the thoroughness.
Yes.
I have those conversations all the time. Well, they said that they had this diagnosis. That doesn't matter.
No.
We've got to go through a conversation and be thorough and be in relationship with somebody and be curious and ask questions.
Right. Yeah.
I think it just has to come from Western culture where it's like, we just got to really got to hurry up with this and we've got to have the answers right away. And it's just not how therapy works.
Well, I think it's how therapy in the West was made to work. That's the sad thing, right? We know from IPMB, it's not how healing happens. And yet there's this like system issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think of insurance and the medical model and efficiency and data, and like part of it is like, gosh, I think our field was founded on some really harmful practices. So how do we reclaim and return to what healing is meant to be? It's not superficial certainty.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think, like, you and I hold strongly the belief that that's not how healing is created, but then they've got like this brief therapy model. And I wonder if there would be somebody that would come in the room and argue against us that no, this is how healing happens.
Of course there would be.
Yeah.
Even some of you listening might be like, that's not the belief you hold, right?
Yeah.
And I guess I would say again that all of our beliefs are just hypotheses. So I've got some data from IPMB I'm quite biased towards, but.
Yeah, but I think what it comes down to it is because at least, I might be getting off topic here, but because I believe in my core about IPMB and attachment, I can stay very regulated in a session because I feel very connected to the framework and theory that I'm practicing from. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to like, because I'm regulated and connected, my client will then be regulated and connected. But I think it's a bit off topic about what he's talking about around like these beliefs that we have about, like, if you believe that somebody's OCD, is that really going to help you feel regulated and connected to a client?
No.
Right.
But we are talking about the beliefs we hold about what therapy is or isn't or should be. And so that's related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I think you and I can feel solid about how we orient towards our field. Flaws and all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think he's talking about rejecting superficial certainty because part of what he goes through earlier in the chapter is that evolutionarily, that's not a word.
Part of what he goes through the chapter.
Evolution.
Through evolution?
I am usually quite okay with words, but I don't know. Evolutionary wise, we were designed to believe over rational conclusions, right? He says that earlier because it helps protect against uncertainty. So we're kind of wired towards like, my belief is this, I hold this. And so when we're with clients, our clients are that way and we can tend towards that way of having this like strong belief or bias, because it's very, it takes more energy to be regulated in the midst of uncertainty.
Yeah. And I have to imagine that Lisa Dionne got this information from somewhere. I don't know where she got it, but she talks about that being a threat to the brain, the unknown, uncertainty. Our brain literally believes that we are in danger.
Right. Yep. There goes your amygdala.
Yeah.
He talks actually a lot about some of the fascinating neuroscience that we won't get into today around being able to predict what other people's behaviors is going to be next and how that came before the capacity for self-awareness. And so we really encourage you to look through it. One thing I wanted to read that felt so related to this idea of rejecting superficial certainty and deepening, because we talked about surface level narratives and deep narratives before. And I was thinking about like, well, surface level certainty, there's a depth to uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And David White is a lovely philosopher, poet, human being. And he writes, let me find it, about honesty. And it's related to uncertainty. So I'm just going to read it. This is from his Book of Consolations, and we'll link it in the show notes. He says, honesty allows us to live with not knowing. We do not know the full story. We do not know where we are in the story. We do not know who is at fault or who will carry the blame in the end. Honesty is not a weapon to keep loss and heartbreak at bay. Honesty is the outer diagnostic of our ability to come to ground in reality, the hardest attainable ground of all, the place where we actually dwell, the living, breathing frontier where there's no realistic choice between gain or loss.
It reminds me of a podcast we'd had about saying, I don't know.
Yeah. I just love that part where he says, honesty allows us to live with not knowing. It's not a weapon to keep loss and heartbreak at bay. It's more about being in the ground, the place where we actually dwell. And I'm just thinking about how to be uncertain or to not know, it's just honest.
Yes.
Like showing up to work in my socks is honest. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
When a client says or responds in a way that you didn't anticipate, we're honest right there with the not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm even thinking about somebody who maybe would have had a hard time around just showing up. Like they get to work and they don't have shoes, and there's something in them that can't bear to be in front of clients around that. And so maybe they say, like, I have to cancel my day of clients or the next couple hours to go get back my shoes. It's like, well, we can just be honest with who we are and what's happening. And I had to imagine that added some like levity and humor into your sessions throughout the day. For me, I don't wear shoes in most of my sessions, mm-hmm. so my clients are used to it. But if I had a couple clients who generally aren't used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the deepening into like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was about. I know I'm right here. I'm going to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of that as we show up with our clients, like we don't know. And what a gift to hold our not knowing and their not knowing in mind at the same time.
Yes. What mm-hmm. a gift for them that mm-hmm. you get to model regulation in the midst of not knowing.
Yeah.
You are going to offer that to them, but we first have to get to a spot where we can be okay in the unknown.
And we will just remind you at the end of the chapter, we're always saying this also, but he shares about how as a therapist, you cannot help a client grow beyond your own point of development. That's part of the uncertainty, I have to believe, is we need to be doing our own work to continue to grow, to join in with the client's uncertainty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just recently switched therapists.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing work I've never done before, and yeah. I can already see it changing in the work that I'm doing with clients.
It's amazing, yeah. isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So continue doing your own unfolding while someone holds your not knowing, and then we get to show up with more resources in our inner world to do that with our people. So it is a full moon. It's not going to be when you're listening to this, but it is in this moment. And if we think of time being spiralic, maybe something that we're saying right now will be grounding. Cause I love, and you know what, Kelly gave me these fun, we can put a picture or like tag the place or something, these fun moon earrings that I'm wearing. And I like full moons because it reminds us of releasing. And so I think of fall and this metaphor of letting go. And I'd be curious what you need to let go of right now. And then what can you ground into? So there's always this dance between release and ground. And to sit with whether it's letting go of some certainty, letting go of self-judgment. Maybe we want to ground into nourishing relationships, ground into the beauty of not knowing, like what a relief in my system.